Hey everyone, welcome to LifeBridge Online. Whenever it is that you are watching us, we are grateful that you are joining us today. You know, during this transition time, I want to make sure that we communicate to everyone watching or listening at home that we miss you and we love you. Whenever you feel comfortable returning to worship corporately with us, man, we are ready for you and we are longing for that day. Until then, we will continue to offer our services online. And as always, if there's a need in your household, in your neighborhood, if there's a need, an opportunity for ministry in your world, let us know about it. Talk to your life group leaders first, and then if they can't help out, you come to the church and we will do whatever we can to help you meet the needs in your world. You know, today we are kicking off a new summer series called Bible Stories Never Taught in Sunday School. And it should probably say rarely taught. You know, if you read through the Bible cover to cover, you will discover some very interesting stories. Sometimes head-scratching stories that leave us feeling just completely confused. Why is that in the Bible? What purpose does this story serve? There's some stories that our current Motion Picture Association, who rates all the movies and TV shows that we watch, that they would actually rate some of these stories as mature. Definitely some R-rated stories found within the Bible. So this series is all about some of those extreme stories, those unheard of stories that rarely, if ever, get talked about. Now, we've had to kind of shuffle the deck and we've had to rearrange our sermon calendar, and we were going to do this series at a time when our little lifers and our life kids wouldn't be present in the room. We've had to alter that, and so they're here, and I want to just give everyone some assurance as you watch online with your family or you worship together with your family live, we are going to censor what and how we teach. After all, we do want church and what takes place during this time period to be a family-friendly environment. Today, we start with a story that if you haven't read it through, you quite possibly have heard about it. The story takes place in the book of Numbers, the 22nd chapter. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Throughout Scripture, animals are used by God and Satan to be part of the story of mankind. You know, sometimes these animals play a less prominent role. You know, the colt that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on, the snake that bit Paul. Some animals play a more prominent role, the whale or the big fish that swallowed Jonah, the pigs that Jesus cast the demons into as they ran down and jumped into the lake. Then there are a few stories where the animal is on center stage. You know, as I mentioned last week, if you watched that service, we talked a lot about animals, and we talked about the snake. The snake has a pretty prominent role very early on, as it had something to do with the fall of mankind. And then there's today, the story of the donkey that talked to its rider. So let's read this together in Numbers 22, starting in verse 21. So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry that Balaam was going, so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. "What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times?" it asked Balaam. "You have made me look like a fool," Balaam shouted. "If I had a sword with me, I would kill you. But I am the same donkey you have ridden all your life," the donkey answered. "Have I ever done anything like this before?" "No," Balaam admitted. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. I am waiting for Disney to come out and turn this into a story. Talking animals. I mean, what's it like when you are riding along on an animal that from the story you've ridden along all your life, and suddenly this animal starts to act in a way that is unnatural and it's never done before. And as you beat it, as you correct it, as you discipline the animal, it starts to talk. And I love that Balaam wasn't freaked out by it. He wasn't taken back by it. He actually engaged in conversation with this donkey. And this donkey was able to see something that Balaam, even though he had previous conversations with God, was unable to see. Now, let me give you some backstory as to what is going on. Why did Balaam on this day mount this donkey and ride off with these Moabite officials to do whatever it is that he was going to do? So here's the backstory. The book of Numbers accounts for the time period where Israel was in the wilderness. The Hebrew nation, in the midst of the exodus from Egypt, arrived at Mount Sinai. You remember the whole Ten Commandments. Before the Ten Commandments, it was the parting of the Red Sea and the people crossing over and Pharaoh's army getting crushed. And they wandered a while and they land at Mount Sinai. And they're at Mount Sinai for a period of time. And this is where the Ten Commandments come into play. And this is a covenant between God and his people. It's a covenant that God was trying to make between himself and his rescued, chosen people. And basically the covenant is, you keep these 10 rules, okay, which will help you have a healthy relationship with me, the Lord your God, and it'll help you have a healthy relationship with all your neighbors. You keep these 10 rules, and I, God, will move you into this promised land that I've guaranteed to your ancestors. You know, now, the promised land at this time, as we know, was occupied. It was being inhabited by other people groups. And so the plan was, hey, let's send in 12 spies. And so we know the story, 10 were bad, 2 were good. Moses and Aaron, they sent in the 12 spies to do that, to spy, to check it out, to do some recon work. They came back to report on what they saw. They saw a fertile land. They saw a land with plenty of opportunity. They saw a land of abundance. But again, it's an occupied land. 10 of the spies were scared because of the occupants of this promised land. Man, they got the crowd in a frenzy. We can't conquer these people. They're too big. They're too many. God's led us here to die. It's better for us to go back to Egypt and live as slaves. You know, don't miss this about the story of God's people. God has rescued them from bondage. Okay, he is about to give them what he has promised to them. All they have to do is trust him. Trust him. He's already provided for them. He's already protected them. He's already done all these things. He's just asking one more day, trust him, and this fertile land of opportunity is all yours. But these 10 men, weak in faith, said, we can't do it. 10 men influenced hundreds of thousands of people. And the collective sentiment of the nation of Israel is, let us go back to bondage instead of trusting God. The other two spies said, hey, all we got to do is trust God. We've already trusted God. If we trust God, we can conquer the very land and the people who are inhabiting it, and He is going to give this to us. And so God, as you can imagine, church, was furious with Israel's response. I can't believe you people will not trust me. After all I've done these past months and years of bringing you up out of Egypt, I can't believe you won't trust me. So His punishment was that this generation would wander around in the desert for 40 years, and no one from this generation will be allowed into the promised land. So that's kind of what's going on. Now, the book of Numbers is broken down into three sections, okay? The year, and they were at Mount Sinai year, that's one section. That's where the Ten Commandments, the 40 years of wilderness wandering took place. Okay, so you have the year spent at Mount Sinai. That's one section. The 40 years of wilderness wandering, that's the second part. And then the third part is toward the end of the 40 years. It's not over yet, but it's at the end of the 40 years. And the people are camping out on the plain of Moab, just outside the promised land. And that's where our story picks up today. The Israelites have wandered for close to 40 years. They are close to being released from their 40-year stint in timeout. And during this 40 years of wandering, God has still provided for the Israelites. You ever think about that? Like, He was furious with them. He said, I'm not going to let you guys enter into it. I'm mad at you, but I'm still going to provide for you. He still provided for them. He didn't just send them out to fend for themselves and say, hey, check back with me at 40 years and we'll see how things are going. No. He provided for them even in their time of rebellion. God continues to demonstrate His mercy, His patience, grace over and over and over again during this 40 years of wandering. So they are in the country of Moab, and the king of Moab is scared. Now the Israelites are vast in number, and King Balak is scared. He doesn't know how to handle the threat of the Israelites. I mean, he's heard the rumors. He's heard some of the things that they've done in the past, I'm sure. He can go to this part of his kingdom and he can see Israelites over here. And he can go to this part of his kingdom and he can see Israelites over there. He knows that there's a lot of Israelites in his land and he doesn't know how to handle it. So he calls on a man who is known for being able to call curses down onto people. The soothsayer's name is Balaam. Look at verse 6. This is the message from King Balak to the soothsayer Balaam. Please come and curse these people for me, because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless, and curses fall on people you curse. So this Balaam guy has this reputation of being able to call down blessings on people or curses on people. He has this reputation of that this is the king's move. He's going to curse the Israelites. He's going to jinx them. He's going to add some mojo, whatever it is, that he can then bring his armies in and attack. So the king sends a delegation and a large bag of cash to persuade Balaam to come and take care of this. Now, God and Balaam have a conversation. And God didn't want Balaam to go. He did not want him to go. And Balaam, through some stubbornness of his own and evil desires of his own, Balaam decides to take measures into his own hands, and he goes anyway. So, there's three short lessons that I want us to learn from this story. If you're taking notes, you can jot these down, because these, I know, apply to our life. The first one is this. God will use the most unique or unthinkable method to work his sovereign plan. I'll say that again. God will use the most unique or unthinkable method to work his sovereign plan. You know, God opened the eyes of the donkey to see the angel of the Lord. Think about this play from heaven's standpoint, if you will. I mean, they're God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, they're sitting around and they're seeing Balaam make this call. I'm gonna go on anyway. Even though God wants me to do this, he doesn't want me to go. He wants me to stay here. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna curse his people. And so God's like, okay, I'll tell you how I'm gonna handle this. I'm gonna open the eyes of the donkey that Balaam is riding on, and I'm gonna give the donkey the ability to speak. Right? And you think about it, a donkey is a pretty stubborn animal. And so God's like, I'm going to open the eyes of this stubborn animal because this stubborn man won't listen. God will use the most unique or unthinkable method to work his sovereign plan. So whether it is using a talking donkey as part of the plan to get this message to a foreign king, or a virus that comes from a bat on another part of the world, God uses the unthinkable to work his plan. You know, I think about my life and I think about the roller coaster ride of faith that I've been on. And for me, one of those major instances where this was lived out actually came from a fire that burned down a church building. And when you factor in all the details of the event, and we're not going to go into that here right now, it doesn't make sense. And God used that event to work out his plan. And I didn't see it in the moment. I didn't know what was going on in the moment. But looking back, God used a church fire to work out his plan. And church, here's the thing about this. It doesn't have to always be something as drastic as a talking donkey or a fire. But here's what I want, here's what I encourage us to learn today. That no matter what is happening in your life, God is always capable of whatever is going on in your life to be worked out as part of his plan. Whether it's sickness or broken relationships in marriage or work relationships that are splintered or loss of job or whatever this coronavirus has done for you in this season of life, I want you to rest assured and know that God is capable. He is capable of, no matter what your circumstances are, of working out his sovereign plan in your life. And we see that in this story. The second lesson, and this is the obvious lesson. This is the one that is, you know, somewhat laughable. And, you know, again, it's most obvious, but it's a real lesson, and we need to learn from it. If God can use a donkey, he can use me. And I'll be honest, Ted, as I say this right here, I've actually thought through this. I'm not sure which one's the bigger miracle. God using Balaam's donkey, or Michael Sykes to be a preaching minister. I kind of lean towards me being the bigger miracle. You know, if you go on and read the story, God allows Balaam to go to Moab and to speak with the king. There's the whole incident with the talking donkey and Balaam beating the donkey. That whole thing goes down. But if you go on to read the story, God allows Balaam to go to Moab and to speak with the king. God would go on to use this man, Balaam, who is wicked, you know, someone who is known for his evil divinations, to send a message. God would use Balaam to reveal great truths about Israel and Israel's promised Messiah. I encourage you to take some time and read chapter 23 and 24. Read the rest of the story, and you will see the three different oracles. And God is using this man who is, his reputation is evil. His reputation is one that is of not honoring God, and yet God uses him. And so if God can use a donkey, and if God can use this evil man, and God can use Michael, God can use you. The king of Moab is frustrated. I lost my place there. The king of Moab is frustrated because Balaam isn't bringing down curses on the enemy. Instead, he goes on to say, "I will speak only the message that the Lord has put into my mouth." So if God can use a donkey, God can use you too. And the third lesson, the final lesson, we're almost done, is certainly an important lesson for us today. And it does tie back into the first lesson. And that's this. God is showing his grace and mercy behind the scenes, and we usually aren't even aware. I'll say that again. God is showing his grace and mercy behind the scenes, and we usually aren't even aware. And that's the case of the Israelites. You know, we read the story and we lose sight of the bigger picture that's going on. You know, this incident between the donkey, the angel of the Lord, the king, and Balaam, that was taking place over here. But on this other side, you had this nation of Israel. They're camped out over here. They're not even aware of this incident over here. And what's taking place over here is having an impact on the nation of Israel. And they never even knew that it was going on. God was working on behalf of his chosen people in this incident, and they were oblivious to what was taking place. You know, for 40 years, God wandered with his people. He provided for them food. He provided for them shelter. He provided for them protection. Even though they were not living in the place God has promised, even though this group of people have seen miracle after miracle, they chose not to trust him, yet God continues to show grace and mercy in their lives. And they're not even aware that this is taking place. And I want to say this. I think this needs to be said. It doesn't matter how far you have wandered today. It doesn't matter where your relationship is with the Lord or how apathetic you are in your relationship to God. His grace is available. His mercy is present. Even though you may not be aware, because you're just not privy to the situation, or you're just blinded right now with a hardened heart, God's grace is always available to you. His mercy is present. Balaam, as I mentioned just a second ago, goes on to give three oracles, three messages to the nation of Israel in front of King Balak. Three different blessings to the nation instead of curses. And you can imagine, Balak was not pleased. He's like, "Hey, what's the deal? I hired you to come and curse these people. I brought you in to curse them so I can attack them, and you are sitting here and you're giving them blessings? What's going on?" And so King Balak was completely, he was upset, and he didn't know what to do. Balaam says, "I've got a fourth message. I've got a fourth message, and this message is for you, King. It's a warning for what is coming." Now here's the thing, you can read this, but here's the thing about this message. In this message, Balaam has a posture of worship and obedience to God Most High. See, he was on his own trajectory. He was on his own course, and he was going to come in, and he was going to take the money. His greed was driving him to take the money and to call down curses on God's people. And through the angel of the Lord, through God's grace, and through the mercy, Balaam has this change of heart to where at the end of the story, there's a posture of submission, a posture of worship and obedience to God. God's grace to Balaam was evident in his response in change of heart. And church, God's grace is extended to you today and every day. But here's a new truth for us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." The ball is in our court. Can God use a talking donkey to get our attention? Absolutely. But because of Jesus Christ, because of the work of the cross, because of the love that has been demonstrated to you and I today, we don't have to have a talking donkey. We don't have to have some drastic, major, life-changing event to shape us and to redirect us, to open our eyes. You and I today can, with confidence, approach the throne of grace, where mercy and grace are there for us. God, we thank you for this. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for dying on the cross for our very sins. And God, we thank you for stories like this donkey that you allowed the eyes to be opened and the mouth to be opened. And through this event, God, how your grace was shown to a man who was a sinner, an evil man, who was coming to bring curses on your people. And yet through this event, Lord, through this event, because of your grace, because of your mercy, this man's heart was changed. God, I pray that we have the confidence today to approach your throne, to come to the throne of grace, and we can approach it with confidence, knowing that your grace and your mercy are there for us in our lives, no matter what is going on, no matter what our need is. May we have the confidence today to do that, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen. We appreciate you guys joining us online today. Again, if there's any way that we can minister to you, if there are needs in your life that need to be met, please reach out to us. Let us know. Love you all.